Hello and welcome back to another review of Interview with the Vampire, Season 2, Episode 2. Do you know what it means to be loved by death? It kind of sounds like a song. Teleplay by Jonathan Sinsaraz and Shane Munson, directed by Levon Akin. I felt like the first episode was the calm before the storm, and I expected it. I did a lot of projectile vomiting of emotions. My last podcast, I'm going to try to keep things relatively not all over the place. I didn't go back and listen, but that's the lingering feeling I got once I hit publish. And then Mimi reached out to me and was informing me that I had made commentary about how there are not black people in Germany, but I meant to say Ukraine, but when no one is with you to correct your obvious mistakes and recapping the episode, there can certainly be a misunderstanding. So thank you, Mimi. Because I was aware that there is a higher percent of Black Germans, because I went into a deep dive into it when I reviewed, I will never remember the name of that movie, but it was really, really good and really sad, like depressingly sad, but really good. And it starred the actress that's playing the Acolyte. So Google her and I'm sure you'll find the movie that I'm referencing. This episode was a 10 out of 10 because of how breathtaking the introduction of Armand Santiago, the theater in itself. All of that felt very reminiscent of not only the movie, but the book. Played out the same, played out in a manner that has so much more contextualization behind it, because of understanding Louis, not only as a black man, but as a gay black man. And the exploration of the sexuality of Louis in this series gives so much more relevance and accurate depth to what we got from the books. And often I will come across a comment that would clearly expose anyone who hasn't read the books because of their decision not to at least consider the homoerotic themes in Anne Rice's novels. So if you are saying that this is somehow manifested only in the show, then you only watch the movie, and that's okay. Embrace your clear critique for the homophobia that it is.
Some of y'all is fat and ugly and unattractive, but that is okay. Just be who you are.
And I am referencing some pretty nasty comments, so don't think that I'm just being mean to people who may simply be confused if they're not familiar with the text. Talking about those that are not worthy of any type of sympathy. I really love this episode. I'm glad that we are finally seeing that, for me, the audience is more directly seeing the simmering vulture beneath the placidity of Louis' demeanor. Because I got a lot of, I got a couple of comments from my first season review. Anytime I made any type of criticism of Louis, and one particular comment really kind of got to me, even though I responded in a, I believe, respectful manner, was that I was simply taking the side of an abuser, which is Lestat, that I was giving Lestat way too much grace. And I guess we can agree to disagree on that factor, but I certainly didn't think my critiques of Louis's character or the acknowledgement of the flaws within Louis's character wasn't something that was a part of the dichotomy of what makes Louis unique in the first place. It's because he lives in this very, right now it feels rather circular existence, that he doesn't really truly understand his identity. And I think self-identity is a theme this season, particularly when it comes to Daniel. And I think that's what's going to be the bridge that gaps these two people. But we're getting a little further ahead of ourselves, because I need to acknowledge, yes, that is a fan in the background. It's probably loud. I apologize, but it's fucking hot. Unexpectedly so. It said 72. It's fucking 92. If I turn that sucker off, I'm going to be sitting here sweating swimming pools underneath these tits, and I don't feel like having to find a rag and patting myself off every 10 to 20 minutes, all right? I would prefer to stay as breezy as possible, cool as possible, whichever.
I'm upset.
And secondly, I need to do the recap first, because I'm doing terrible at these reviews. I'm supposed to be doing the recap and then really going into a review, and I find myself going back to just doing a scene-by-scene recap, and that's what we voted to stop doing. So I need to come up with a game plan. And so I have decided to pick certain points out of this episode to talk about, because then when I feel like I don't talk about everything, it could be a little bothersome. But I decided to write down some points that I may want to intertwine at some point within this episode or the next one, depending on how my flow feels, and that it's okay. And at the end, if I have just like a shit ton of notes that I didn't bring up, I can just do a whole diarrhea of the mouth type of wrap up, and then we'll be fine. I had to do this early because I had so many thoughts after watching the episode. I'm recording this probably way earlier than it's going to be put out, because it was starting to inceptualize my dreams. I needed to express my internal dialogue, because I was starting to write pages of notes, and that's when you know your investment has been ignited. We pick up where we left off, them integrating into Paris society in the past. You have Claudia still trying to seek others out, really embracing, because after the war, things felt, well, people were desperate to feel elation, happiness, which is perfect for vampires that have been dealing with nothing but depressive, melancholic, traumatic type of blood. This is good blood. This is gonna restore our cheeks, gonna get our hair looking better. It's gonna give us the energy we've been needing, particularly after we got probably as low as we could possibly get. Well, particularly Claudia. And they get to a place where they are finally happy with each other again. Which brings me to a point that I forgot to mention last episode, which is on my list, that Louis, once he was away from Claudia and he was left with Morgan and Amelia, who were not married, by the way, I think I said they were married, he is immediately drawn in and less burdened by the feeling of that responsibility with Claudia to enjoy the simplicity of humans. But it's a one-way relationship, because the minute that those humans need anything from him, well, to reveal his true nature is not an option and is actually a danger to him and something they don't do. So while he selfishly takes, he does not give in the same breath. So that is something that was very, I think, subtly, like a lot of Louis's darker traits, that is something to look back on, as well as the fact that Morgan was a reporter and he's instantly attracted to Daniel, the reporter in the gay bar, who's dealing with self-identity. Keep that in your back pocket for a reason. Back to the recap. Claudia is the first one to ask, as he's now taking up photography as a habit, which is incredibly sexy. Who are you? Who are you outside of Lestat? Who are you outside of me? Who are you outside of your family?
Who the fuck are you, man?
As they're strolling through the park, just taken out of the pages of the book, he's strolling through the park. I love Daniel's sass when it comes to how you find love and romance in a park. The way you find drugs in a gay bar, Daniel. Santiago approaches him, starts to kind of play with him a little bit. He's not amused until Armand, for the first time, steps out of the shadows.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light.
I don't know if non-book readers would have picked up on it. And it certainly would not have been a point of interest in the movie, since he was played by a much older actor. But Armand is supposed to be around 1920. I think it's closer to 19, right? Which means, based on the two men we've seen outside of Lestat, Louis has a type.
I like him younger.
What am I saying? He brought out the photo memorabilia to acknowledge that fact and even smirked.
Daddy, chill.
I felt like all the cunts were on full display this episode. Just gonna throw that out there. In all their fashions. Armand with the most accurate pickup line. I will never hurt you. And I never will. And I never have. As I grab your hands and you return none of the passion that we keep trying to convince Daniel we have, or at least still remains. Because I do think that there is a genuine love between the two. It is simply battered and weathered and in a pattern of familiarity that is inauthentic to the expressions on Louis' face when he's not pretending. We'll talk about Louis' compartmentalization later and how he tends to chameleon himself into certain roles that he needs to in order to achieve his own personal goals. Sidling back to Armand, though, really?
The lies!
There you go, this bitch.
The lies.
They meet the other vampires. At first, at the theater, the show is very dramatic. Maybe not up to Claudia's standards, but Louis can appreciate the art, even though he is looking up at Armand, like, is this really what you into? Because I thought you were a little bit more sophisticated than that. This is an inclination of the shows that you're putting on. I don't know if I'm quite as into it. And then they brought on the actual victim that they use in their plays to kill them creatively on stage in front of a full audience without the audience realizing that's exactly what they're doing. To which Claudia and Louis had opposing reactions. Claudia. She's ecstatic. She's found her kind. They're creative. They own the night. They are embracing and proud of their vampirism. This is everything that she's ever wanted and has been searching for. Whereas for Louis, this is like the ninth circle of hell, with the only difference is that the devil is as attractive as an angel.
Seek him out. You must.
And my interpretation of that reading of the situation as it continues to unfold is very much based on his history and the expression on his face as they were riding around on the bikes. They go to, I'm not even sure what this person did or why they were targeted. I may have missed that part in the dialogue, but first they're introduced into the coven. There's quite a few vampires there. They are asked who their maker is. She, Claudia, says Bruce. That's the motherfucker, in case you forgot. Unlike Louis, with a one-track mind, what did she say? Now I know what two dicks slopping together feel like. That's where his is on. Whereas she realizes that the motherfucker on the wall is also the co-owner of this theater, meaning the co-founder of this coven.
What the hell did you just say?
Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Oh, shit! Oh, oh, oh,
oh. Daniel's response to this was priceless. I should have seen that coming. I did not see that coming. When he turned on that Young and the Restless music, I lost my shit. I was like, this is a comedy. This, you need these moments, though. You really do. Because there's some pretty dark things going on underneath the surface of it all. But it does kind of read like a telenova. He looked up at the portrait. No, I think it was him being incredulous at the idea that they both fucked Lestat that took him over the edge.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Claudia wants to stay. They have rules. She's down for those rules. Louis wants to stay, but only because he wants to fuck Armand or explore a relationship with Armand. Because the lust between them is very strong. So she gets to do what she wants, which is go into an estate and kill all of the people there for reasons. Because we're the valiant thieves up in this bitch.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can forget my name while you call.
Now the issue is keeping the fact that Lestat is their maker away from a coven that Armand has already digested, at least he did, that they have some type of familiarity with Lestat. Louis really tried to deny it. Like, his entire demeanor doesn't change when that man's name is brought up.
It must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good, but I lost it somehow. It must have been
the present, Daniel continues with the joint interview. He tries to get under their skin. It works. He makes a lot of flippant comments in regards to their relationship, even though if you have to justify how many years you've been together versus his ex, that's a red fucking flag.
I'm in denial.
It shouldn't matter how long you've been with someone to justify that they're the love of your life. And now that I keep thinking about that bedroom layout, it kind of feels like a jail cell. I don't think that Armand is keeping Louis trapped, but I think they're both trapped in this relationship due to them being tied and connected to this moment in time, which leads back to the events in Paris, which also include Claudia's unfortunate demise. Daniel wants to utilize Claudia as the weapon against Louis, her own words, because she's the only one that was, and you see that in the past, was able to really strip down a lot of his facades, or at least get him to confront those uncomfortable truths. But Daniel finds himself broken on the wheel by the unexpected viciousness that Louis displays. And I think because he was expecting it from Armand, it felt less expected from Louis that he would begin to tear down his relationship with Alice. And I think if you are going to come at someone, though, especially when they are revealing very intimate, emotionally scarring, vulnerable parts of yourself, to laugh in the face of that is cruel. Although I think that is how Daniel has able to build up walls to protect his own inner identity and self. But it's not just that in that moment, even though he doesn't share it, that bothers him. It is the recalling of Armand speaking to him in the apartment, and he doesn't have any memory of what really happened with Louis. So that's brought back up to the surface in a time and space where he may be still stuck at. Like, what happened in that room? What happened between us? And I wonder if Louis pushing the buttons the way he did with Daniel and Armand being the one to soften the blow, but also take control of or capitalize on reigning or taking the reins once Louis has diminished him. And I think that was a lesson that Armand wanted to give to Daniel, but I think it's going to backfire because I don't think Armand's going to be able to deal with Louis dismantling him as much as I think that Armand actually, like, Louis, in the face of him telling or revealing that his wife said no, or when he proposed she said no, it was Armand who softened it by she wanted to say yes. So taking away the absolute heartbreak with a little bit of hope is coming from a corner of the couch that you didn't expect that to come from. But it does bring these two men closer together, because now at least Daniel knows how it feels to have that moment, because he did that, and it happened right after he found another suppressed memory of Lestat and who the person he was versus the recollection that he created.
Look how they mask of my boy.
That's the meat and potatoes of the episode. Some lingering notes, like I said, about Louis and the way he is still very much playing out the same roles he's had in the past. Claudia, I forgot his sister's name already. But she is his sister, feeling the need to be responsible for, wants to see happy, but also never comes and visits, never thinks to reveal his vampire nature to, because he fears her response. Or does he fear her response to that? Because there's part of me in the first season that wondered if she would have accepted who he was to a certain extent if he had offered that olive branch. But because he knew deep down what he was doing was wrong and he kept doing it because it was gonna eventually put others in danger, he still did it anyway because he didn't want to let go of that relationship. But I also really think about his relationship with Paul. And I think that has some hints of his relationship with Lestat. It's the first memory of them meeting each other that Lestat sees, this person that is so, that can so cruelly put a blade to his brother's neck, but this is the person that he loves more than anything else. And I think that there is something poetic about the fact that the season ended with him essentially doing the same thing to Lestat. It's worth noting that he tends to seek out these relationships that are kind of imperfect, and how he even reacts to Paul's death. Like, I think the guilt, because the mother said that he was responsible, I think we lost sight of that guilt in the face of him becoming a vampire, but that was kind of the point of why he became a vampire, is to get away from this guilt of how he always treated Paul, how he never really got him the help that he kind of needed. And he wasn't always nice to Paul. You know, some days he was tolerant of him and he loved listening to him, but he never shared a part of himself with Paul. And so you go back to the identity part, where he is a black man that was a plantation owner. Then upon that no longer being feasible to maintain that status of this desiring of a much prominent life, and there's nothing wrong with these things, right? They're selfish desires, but they're not morally wrong. He's just on the other side of a thing. I mean, I'm sure inside his brain it's plain, like he's had to compartmentalize, because as a black man owning black people, you immediately disassociate from your own race due to that unorthodox position that society has put you in order to be a survivor in society, or to have something that's worth anything, to have any sense of power. So we never really, or at least Louis never really dealt with or reconciled those people. He kind of went from one pan into a fryer and didn't look back. And I think this recall, this interview, I'm wondering if that is his motivations to reconnect with the humanity that he has now lost track of in these last 70 something years. Because the Louis we know wouldn't be smiling at the idea of draining boys just for the fun of it. And then I think about how he met Daniel and what his fate would have been and then kind of was. It's putting a lot in the atmosphere about the person that Daniel met all that time ago and the person that he's beginning to see in the first episode that thanked him for helping him recover things that he's lost and the emotions that came with that. I think there's going to be a trend alert I'm going to be looking for with Louis, because it feels as if when he doubles down into his vampirism, he begins to destroy things, kind of like what happened when he finally killed not just the the ball. I'm talking about when it was no longer feasible that he was going to be able to have the Mariposa, which was the dream that he, that's not the name, that's Westworld. But I think it actually was the name. No, it wasn't. It was Azalea Hall. I knew I was getting that all the way mixed up. It just felt like something that would be in this show. But that's when he decided, after everything was going crazy and being burned down due to his actions sparking that, that he was going to save Claudia to save him from becoming what he imagines is a worse fate, which is Lestat. Louis projects all of his enjoyment of Lestat's nature down to emotional manipulation. And I think he's totally being unfair and justifying his own culpability and being lured in by Lestat. He makes it feel as if he had no agency, and that is something Louis really needs to reckon with, is his own ego, his own desire for the immorality that is Lestat. Although he does have a line, and that line is, when it harms humans in a manner that he finds distasteful, which is intriguing considering Claudia is very much the daughter. While she's the brother to Louis, she's the daughter to Lestat. She is more like her maker than she would ever acknowledge. Her despair comes from the fact that the person she hates more than anyone else in the world. I already said that that's a natural transition between the fledgling and master anyway. I don't think we want to call it master, but that's what we got right now. But it was a more paternal relationship between those two, which is why it was intensely more personal and could only, due to their very same personas, him being the one to school her, it's almost like he created his own perfect little monster, and then she hated him for that. And while she's able to forgive and love Louis because of his remorse, I think Lestat, he's just entirely too controlling and manipulative. And he does have those qualities, don't get me wrong. They're just not all the reasons why Louis wanted to become a vampire. And she does the exact same thing. Like, she's able to say what she needs to say, do what she needs to do, but I think she thinks she's the smartest one in the room when she unfortunately underestimates the that attractive nature that she has towards these vampires are reflected back and mirrored, which should have her on some type of alert, if you will, to be so, I don't know, like her response in the cinema, realizing what they were doing, her thirst was entirely too real. And anytime you're that desperate to be accepted, you will then end up becoming susceptible to the people around you. And I don't know if I would trust any of these two people or any of these people around them, although Louis tries to warn her, but she being 100% confident in her own ability does not take heed to this. She says, look, they only want to lick us and Armand only wants to fuck you. So I don't see what the problem is. And I think that as long as they don't find out about Louis or about Lestat and the fact that we killed him, things will be perfectly fine.
Uh-huh, honey.
However, just like in the first episode, like Mimi pointed out, because I feel like I wasn't giving you your point and I need to reinforce that you are correct. I was giving you the reason for why she was not realizing just how much danger she was putting herself in and not like I understood from that perspective why she was acting the way she was acting, but on an objective level, yeah, no, she should have been like, Louis, what the fuck? We are putting all our eggs in this basket and maybe, I don't know, maybe we should slow down and assess the situation and dip our toes in and figure out what's going on instead of making ourselves easy prey in a position where we're very overpowered. And if Daniel knew just how powerful or how different the power dynamic between Armand and Louis was in the moment, he would definitely use that to his advantage to throw it in his face, considering his commentary about Lestat's racial and white privilege status when it came to he and Louis getting together, when he tried to make excuses for the archetype that he was selling Daniel. And I think that that is something that he's continuing to do. I think he wants Daniel to give his truth, or maybe, I don't know, because he got rid of those tapes. So I'm really intrigued on how they're going to surprise us for book readers. So I can't say I completely know where it's going, because they've made changes where something else can happen. And I'm like, okay, and this works. But back to Claudia. Seeing the old world vampire commit suicide, I'm like slapping myself in the head that I didn't point out that is exactly what happened to Lestat, that he explained to Claudia that, no, I didn't get any hugs and kisses and any tutorials. And yes, I certainly am not a great, there's definitely an opportunity area in my skills with fledglings. There's some places on a survey where the commentary may be beneficial, but it was nothing like the introduction that he got from the onset. And at least she has had the benefit of establishing relationships and being, I think in the show she's supposed to be like 40 years old, but in the novel I think she's like closer to 65, 70 years old at this point. She's got bougie ass taste.
I'm a diva.
she's attracted to the flair, whereas Louis is much more comfortable in the stands, not acknowledging that he even enjoys the theater. Homegirl wants to be the star of the show, and she certainly is making an introduction of herself that she is far more secure than the woman that we've seen along the way in the journey. But I also think that her hatred of Lestat clouds her need to even understand or consider the words in which he did speak to her. Because in that moment, she definitely knew what he must have felt. That wasn't even her first introduction to the life, as I pointed out earlier. And secondly, she is just as possessively hostile. While she doesn't take much note of Armand, she is almost in this moment letting him have, I swear he keeps trading dominance. But it felt like in that moment where she went to eat, because he's like, oh, I ate before. And she kind of looked at Armand like, yeah, I already know what's about to happen here. Fine, you have your fun. Because she feels in that moment he is absolutely and utterly, after that amazing speech, committed to her no matter what. It's always going to be them. And I wonder what's going to happen when like the rest of Louis's family realizes that there is a part of him that needs to exist outside of them, because that, while brings him great joy, also brings him a great deal of resentment, if you will, because of the actions and the things that he has to do in order to ensure their happiness. I think that there is a more hedonistic side to Claudia that was more in line with Lestat, and why they did, for a short while, have a relationship that was worth being emotionally wrecked about leaving, even if she herself doesn't acknowledge that. And I wonder if we are going to get any part of that in this season of Claudia, even for a moment, seeing the shadow that once was, or lifting the shadow that once was on the memories that were at once not quite as clouded with the emotions that came after. I think Claudia's disgust with Louis, particular in her diary, mirrors Lestat's own frustration and anger at Louis, at his distinctive investment in human affairs. And I think that he has the capacity to turn that on and off. So I do think that that is him when he becomes flippant about the destruction, about the mayhem behind him. There's part of him pretending to enjoy that or not be bothered by it as much as he is. Armand, for the most part, feels in the past like someone who, well, I'll sum it up in Armand's words himself. Quote, "You are beautiful and unique, Louis. You represent the broken heart of the vampire," end quote. And I think the minute that Armand saw him the same way Lestat saw him,
Can I put my balls in your jaw?
Your jaw.
Balls in your jaws.
He's right, Daniel, that the ghost of Lestat between them is not something that isn't a part of the relationship, even if they may have a healthier relationship than the one. I think Louis, Claudia certainly believes that Louis deserves better than Lestat. And I think Armand could certainly be that for him right now, as it seems. But there is that past that he dismisses, like, oh, they were together for a short time.
Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Calling it right now, he straight up lied to Louis about the full extent of his relationship with Lestat. And I think that was easier to accept, especially as he pointed out, like, I slept with Santiago. I slept with the women there. We don't, you know, it's a very small community. And we don't discriminate between each other. But come on. That's like saying Claudia wants to sleep with Louis. The relationships are established, but because they're trying to say we're freaks, and out of all of the boys I kissed, he was just the one I wanted to stay over. So be it. But yeah. I think that's definitely what he is worried about. I wonder if Daniel's going to get to real Rashid. They keep showing him, and at first I thought it was just a gag. But they said that real Rashid is going, that he brought the photos and that he's the one that's going to retrieve the diary pages. I wonder if he is going to end up being an asset, being the other human in the house to Daniel. I don't know why I'm having that theory, but that's a theory I'm putting out there. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if it's right, I'm a genius. And I think the only other note that I think is relevant to bring up for this podcast, because I think I may have actually gotten down to most of it, the finishing each other's sentences was pretty funny. It showed the chemistry between the actors and what was their relationship. Because he is going down, Louis, when he's talking, down memory lane, and he's thinking about, yeah, like what attracted us when we were in our honeymoon phase. Then the minute that the bomb drops between them, which is the last scene that I'm going to talk about. Yeah, I was saving everything. Don't worry. That's the one scene we definitely were going to break down. The whatever that was in the past, it clearly no longer exists to the extent in the future. So Daniel is in the middle of what is possibly one of the biggest Maury episodes or Dr. Phil episodes than he expected. So yes, let's talk about the letter from Lestat.
They ask you how you are, you just have to say that you're fine when you're not really fine, but you just can't get into it because they would never understand.
Louis is very surprised to learn that Lestat has left him, and in case of emergency, box, money, everything that he would need. And he reads the letter that starts on the outside of the envelope with "My Louis." There were spelling errors in there showing that, or proving his illiterate past, like he was never allowed to learn to read and write. We haven't even met Lestat, in my opinion. We met parts of Lestat, and I think I said that in the first episode. I can't wait until we get the full story of Lestat, which will be coming in season 3, because I think that will really, really not excuse, which is my favorite saying, but it truly does give you a huger sense of who the person is, and also why Louis, in the face of everything, would rather choose a life with him than a life of a love that is emotionally more stable, where he has a great deal of power despite the power dynamic between the ancient and himself. I think that they're going to be opposing things as far as the relationship goes that simply don't exist between Lestat. But like I said, sometimes toxicity attracts toxicity, and it's not about victim and perpetrator. It's about two people that, even though they know they're absolutely wrong for each other, cannot live without the other person. And for Louis to continue to exist after Claudia, I think he wanted to continue to exist in this new love that he thought he found, that was what he wanted and needed. But ultimately, it has left him without himself, and he really wants to find that self again. And this letter highlights just how much Lestat loved Louis. I trust no one. You're the only being I trust.
I hurt myself today.
That done broke the shit out of that man. Did you see his reaction to that? They both ate that scene up. I'm telling you. Work. If they don't get nominated for something, I'm going to be really mad. And I'm always usually really mad, but I probably might bring it up like every couple of months, like I do on some shows, where I'm like, no, I'm not going to forgive this. Or even if I forgive it, I will never forget. Or I'll just never forgive and forget. But the blood tears from Sam Reed, as he is expressing his longing and yearning, that despite what may have happened, like, he never imagined in his mind that his Louis would ever betray him in the manner that he did. And that he is the only person that he places above himself. And we know that motherfucker is selfish. That is what I've always been saying in season one. That no matter what the fuck Lestat's problems is, and they are plentiful, he always, to his detriment, places Louis above anything and everything else because he cannot help himself. He needs him in his life. He cannot let him go. It's the reason why they had to do the betrayal in the first place, because a regular person would just let you end the relationship. But the idea of the absence of Louis not in his life was not something he didn't even want to consider. And because Louis couldn't live without Claudia, her ass was stuck too. Not right at all, but that goes to the depths of his endearing love for, and how he just expresses himself to him in a manner I think that he wouldn't and hasn't with any other being. And I think the blade for Louis in this moment is the absolute truth in every word that is written out on the page, that absolutely destroys this caricature of the man versus the true depth of him. And in the face of even glimpsing that magnitude, his response to that, as you see, is telling.
Why you being a dickhead fool? Stop being a dickhead.
That scene was beautiful. I don't even need to go all into the details of the letter. except for the fact that he clearly thought that something was going, he knew he was in danger. There's a reason why he wanted to stay in New Orleans. There's a lot of reasons behind Lestat in season one. And this note is an indication that he knows he has enemies and he knows that whatever happens, he's going or he could be destroyed. And that he doesn't at all want Louis to go after anyone in revenge. He wants him to go on with his life and to be happy and know that even if we're on the other side of death, I am pressed up against you wanting nothing more than to be back with you. And there's nothing that would have said I love you as much as that note said, and with every bit of my soul. And you can't deny that truth.
Oh, honey.
Oh,
honey.
Ogre.
Oh, honey.
I love Louis more than anything else in this world. I don't know if I'm a multi-shipper. I can say I'm a multi-shipper because I love when he's with Armand. Yeah, I'm a multi-shipper. I like the dynamics in all of the relationships because they're not atypical family drama bullshit. We're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And people who not only have the time for wisdom and growth, but also the ability to become or develop into even more of the people they were previously. I mean, you're going to go through the gambit. I can't imagine me being a vampire. I would love it. And that's the part I would hate. because I know eventually there's going to be boredom, but in the boredom you can always, and when that you have that boredom, you will start to find more insidious ways in which to alleviate that. You go back to the why is there Squid Games? Well, when rich people have so much money and so much power, the world looks different to them. And Louis is a part of that category, despite the fact that the world has not treated him in a manner that would allow for, in my opinion, the more hedonistic side of his vampirism to be prevalent. He is still mourning that part of himself because he knows what it feels like to be the inferior in the species and be treated as such. Am I done rambling? Because I think that's enough of my rambling. I'm sure there's plenty of other notes that we can talk about, but for the most part, we're going to stop there. We are going to try something new for several reasons that I won't get into, but we're going to do a separate feedback podcast. I think that this will be beneficial for a couple of reasons. I'll get to listen to other podcasts, which I typically don't do in a live show because I don't like to crib off of other thoughts to interfere with my own and end up talking about their thoughts instead of my own. But that'd be perfect for a feedback episode. It also allows for listeners to listen to the podcast and then have any rebuttals that they may have. So if you want to join us in our feedback episode later on this week, which should be maybe Friday, Saturday, blackercouch@gmail.com. You can leave a comment below. We take audio, we take written, and we also take comments. So definitely get your thoughts in. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, wherever good podcasts can be found, go down to the rating section, drop some stars, leave a review. That is indeed where my social media will be found. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic.